Okay, welcome back everyone to our Daf Week class. We are up to Daf Chaf Chet, Daf 28, but we are still on Chaf Zion and Mabez on 27B. We are, let's see, about 14 lines up from the bottom on Chaf Zion and Mabez by the two dots. We're at the second word on the line. Second word on the line, by Yom. With me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm just going to mute everyone, if you don't mind. Okay, great. Bayom HaRishon Bereishis VaYirakiyah. So if you remember in the Mishnah, what the Mishnah had said was that on the days of the Ma'amados, whenever it was this specific group's Ma'amad, that it was their turn to be serving as the representatives of Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, we said there were some who stood in the Beis HaMikdash and some who just stood in their own towns, and they had minyanim in their own towns, special Ma'amad services. And we said at those special Ma'amad services, they did special leanings. What were those leanings? They leaned about the creation of the world. They learned about the story of Bereishis. And we explained last week, I believe, that the reason why they learned about the creation story was because it's specifically the giving of karbanos that allows the world to be standing in the first place. So, Bayom HaRishon Bereishis Vayehi Rakia, on the first day of the leaning, they would read from two paragraphs, one from Bereishis and from Vayehi Rakia. Tana was Tana Breisa, Bereishis Bishnaim, the passage that we say when we mean the passage of Bereishis, you would read that with two people, two olim to the Torah. Yehi Rakia Bechad, and the Yehi Rakia passage you'd read with one. Bishlama Yehi Rakia Bechad Talasa Psukehav. I understand why Yehi Rakia is read with one person, because it has three psukim. We have a general rule, as we'll see in a moment, that whenever you have three psukim, an aliyah can only be minimally three psukim long. So if you have three psukim, that means you could have one ola. Ela Bereishis Bishnayim, but the notion that you could read the passage of Bereishis with two people, and the text change, the text just takes out a mem test over here. So the notion that you could read the passage of Bereishis with two people, hey psukei havyan, it's five psukim. So how's that going to work? If you have two people reading from a passage of five psukim, there's no way to properly divide this. So what do you do? So says the Gemara, Vitania, it's a Gersa change, Vitania, Vasalan Abraisa, Hakori Batura, Al Yivchos Migimel, that one who reads from the Torah should not have less than three Migimel Psukim, should not have less than three Psukim. So what's the solution over here? Rav Amar Doleg. So Rav says, here's what you do. You read the first three psukim in the first aliyah, and then in the second aliyah you go back to the final pasuk and you read the last three psukim, right? So if you have five psukim for the first aliyah, you read 1, 2, 3, and for the second aliyah you read 3, 4, 5. Very simple, just like that. V'shmuel mar posek, and Shmuel's advice is no, you split the third pasuk. So now you start with five psukim, and now if you make pasuk gimel, if you make the third pasuk into two, so you have 1, 2, 3a and 3b. 4, 5. So it's very simple. You'll have three psukim for each ola at that point. So that's the solution. That's, how that would work. V'rav de'amar. V'rav de'amar doleg my time alo amar posek. So Rav has this opinion where he says you do 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5. So why does he say you do 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5 and not 1, 2, 3a? 3b 4 5. So kasavar kol psuka do paski Moshe anan lo paskin. He says very simply, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who split up all of the psukim, and any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't split up, we have no right to split it up. So if you have five psukim that appear as five psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu split up, then who are we to divide any of those psukim? So he says it has to be, you can't split any of the psukim. It must be, rather, that you have to figure out another creative way to do all of these five psukim into two aliyahs. Shmuel Amar Posek Umi Paskinan. So in Shmuel says, I just lost. Sorry, let's go back. Excuse me. Sorry. Where were we? Okay, fine, right? And so Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Posek Umi Paskinan. He says, this is what we do. We do split. Shmuel Amar Posek, and Shmuel that says we split. Umi Paskinan, do we really allow for splitting in the first place? That's how it's written. Do we really allow for this? V'amar Rabbi Chanina Kra, and so said Rabbi Chanina the Kra. He was like a great scholar. Tsar Gadol Hayali Itzar Rabbi Chanina HaGadol. He says, I had a lot of pain out of agony when I went to go speak to the great Rabbi Chanina, because he didn't allow me to divide up the psukim unless it was to teach these school children. Since it was in order to allow me to teach the psukim, then he allowed me to divide them up only for the purposes of teaching them. So we have a problem over here. Shmuel says that we divide the psukim, but we have a very specific story over here that says that it's totally prohibited to split any psukim only for teaching purposes. Shmuel hasam taima maimi shum de lo efshar hachanami lo efshar. Shmuel will say to you, what? There, the reason why you're not allowed to split over there is because it's not possible. When sometimes you have psukim that are so long and so involved and so intense, you need to divide them in order to teach the children properly. So here also, it's impossible. You know that you have to do five psukim and two aliyos. There's no way to do five because you have a minimum of three. So he says, because there it's not possible, you could split. But it's so too over here, it's not possible, so you can split the psukim as well. Shmuel amar posek, my temelo amar dolek. Fine, so that's all said and done. So now we understand why Rav says his opinion, because he says you can't split. Shmuel says his opinion that you could split, and the reason why you're allowed to split over here is because you're allowed to split in a case where you have no other options. But now, why doesn't Shmuel just give Rav's option and just avoid all these issues? Shmuel amar posek my tam alo amar dolig. Why doesn't Shmuel just say to do 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5 instead of 1, 2, 3a, 3a, 4, 5? So gzeira mishum hanichnasin v'gzeira mishum hayotzin. He says it's a special gzeira, a special rabbinic decree that we have because of the people who are entering shul late and leaving shul early. Why? What might happen? Because you might have someone who comes in for the second aliyah, and he'll see once he comes in for the second aliyah that you begin with pasuk gimel. Now, if you're beginning with pasuk gimel, the second aliyah, that must mean that you must have leaned the first aliyah with only two psukim, with only aleph and bays, and therefore that you're going to be concerned that someone's going to make the assumption that you could have an aliyah with less than three psukim, and that would be an issue. And the same issue could take place for people who are leaving early. They'll only be there for the first aliyah. They'll see that you're going to read the first three psukim, and they'll know that you still have to continue with this specific parsha for one more aliyah, and they're going to say, well, if you read for the first three psukim of the first aliyah, that must mean for the second aliyah you're only going to read 4 and 5, which means again they'll make a conclusion that's not appropriate, that they'll say you can have an aliyah with two psukim. Therefore, says Shmuel, since we can never have such a situation like this, because these people aren't going to be realizing that you're going to be utilizing this trick that Rav created, so therefore you have to split up the pasuk to make sure people know that you're doing specifically three because of these people who are coming late or are coming early. Fine. Meisve parsha shalshisha psukim korin osa b'shnayim v'shalchamisha. So let's go slowly here. So we have a braisa that seems to contradict this. Parsha shalshisha psukim. We have a passage that's six psukim long. So korin osa b'shnayim. You could read that with two people. V'shalchamisha. Let's say you have a passage of five psukim. B'yachid, it should be read with a yachid. V'im harishon kore gimel. And now, if the first person that gets up to read, he only reads three psukim, so hasheni kore shnayim mi parsha zu v'echad mi parsha acheres. So the second person should get up. He should read the two psukim from this parsha, and he should read one pasuk from the next parsha. So very simple, says this braisa. All you have to do in general when you don't have enough psukim is to just read read the remainder, which it could be two, or I guess can in theory even be one psukim, and then you just read the makeup, the additional psukim that you need to read from the next parsha. What's the big deal? And so other people say that no, actually what you should do is you should read the two final psukim from this previous parsha, and then you have to read three into the next one, because you should never start a parsha without reading the three psukim. So very simple. So this braisa gives a very clear advice over here that's what they should have done in this case over here. When they read the thing of Bereishis, they shouldn't have split up the five psukim or done 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5. They should have just read into the next parsha, which would have avoided all issues whatsoever. So it says the Gemara, why don't we paskin like these people? Why don't we paskin like this braisa for our situation? Lemand amar doleg lidaleg. Lemand amar posek lifsok. According to the opinion who says you should skip, or according to the opinion who says you should do 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, then that's what the braisa should have said. According to the opinion who says you split the psukim, let them have split the psukim. Why is it that in our braisa they didn't split the psukim? Shani hasam. So now we're on the top of chav ches amad aleph. De is le rav chana. So it's different over there. In our braisa, there is rav chana. There literally there was room. What does that mean? Room. Rashi says, look at the first Rashi on the page on the top of chav ches amad aleph. She'achol lekros mi parsha acheres. Right there. there was room to read from another parsha. Aval hacha leisle, but in our situation where we're saying we're going to read from the passage of Bereishis, leisle ravcha, there's no space, there's no room, there's no additional parsage. Dahal lo matzi lemikre el Bereishis vehirakia. Since we know we're only reading from the two parshios of Bereishis and vehirakia, there's no extra parsha to read from. If you have in any other situation where you know you have to do a Torah reading, fine, so you stop in a few extra psukim if you need to. Here, we have a very specific mandate to read very specific psukim, and if we can't read, and therefore we can't read anything else. So there's no option to read extra psukim. We have to get creative with the psukim that we have. So since there's more room in the braisa, they say this is the ideal. But if there's no room, then we are stuck with a situation like we have, and that's how you have the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Again, one person says to split one of the psukim, and one person says to repeat one of the psukim. Okay, next conversation. Two dots at the top of Chav Ches Amar Alef. Parsha Gedola Korin Osa B'Shnayim B'Shachres V'Musaf U'V'Mincha Korin Al Pihen. So if you remember correctly, the Mishnah is very clear over here that what we have to do is that when it comes to reading the Parshiot, so in the morning services, what would they do? They would read the big Parsha, they read that with two people, and the little Parsha, they read with one person, right? To have a total of three Olim to the Torah. And then in all the subsequent services, they would read it by heart. So let's see what the Gemara says on this. Ibai Elihu, they asked, Hechi ka'amar, b'shachros v'musif korin osa b'sefer, uv'mincha korin osa al-peh, k'korin esa shema. So what exactly was the Mishnah saying over here? Was it saying that at shachros and at the musif service that they read from a sefer Torah, and then at mincha they read by heart like one reads the shema? Or were they saying that no, only at Shacharis do we lean from the Torah, and then at Musaf and Mincha we say it by heart like we say Shema. So says the Gemara Tashma, come in here. The Tanya b'Shacharis uv Musaf nichnas on the Beis HaKnesses v'korin kaderach shekorin kol hashana. That the Braisa teaches that both at Shacharis and at Musaf, they went into Shul, and they read it from the Torah like they read it throughout the entire year. Uv'mincha yachid kore osal peh. And at Mincha, one person reads it for everyone by heart. Amar Rabbi Yossi, what do you mean one person reads by heart? Ki yachid yachod akros divrei Torah al peh betzibor? Can one person read something, read words of Torah by heart for the congregation and fulfill everyone else's obligation? That doesn't make sense. Ella, kula nechnasin v'korin osal peh k'korin es shema. Everyone comes in and reads it by heart for Mincha. But what we see from this brice over here is that specifically it's at Shacharis and at Musaf that we lean, and then at Mincha only do we say it by heart. Okay, next topic. Kol yom sheish bo halel in bo ma'amad. If you remember, we had a series of cases in which we said there are some times where we will not have a ma'amad service if there are additions in the tefillah, or there are additional things happening that day. So one of the differences is when we have halal, and then there are some times when we have other things like the karban eitzim. So says the Gemara, ma hefresh bein zeh lezeh. So the Gemara is very vague over here. We don't know what between what and what. So the Gemara is asking, what's the difference between this and this? So what's this and this? Says Rashi, the second line of Rashi on the top, Maishna de karban eitzim dachi ma'amar de ne'ila u'ma'amar de mincha lo dachi. So why is it that the karban eitzim, right, you remember the wood sacrifice, why is it that pushes away the ma'amad service of ne'ila but not the ma'amad service of mincha? So unbelievable answer of the Gemara. Ma'hefresh ben zeh lezeh, halalu divrei Torah, the halalu divrei from. Very simple, says the Gemara, because these things are from the Torah, and these things are only like some sort of a rabbinic enactment. So what is this talking about over here? So it's saying that the reason why we push away Ne'ilah is because that's just like a rabbinic thing to say that. The reason why we don't push away Mincha is because that's a Torah-mandated thing. Now, all of you should be perking up your ears and saying, what? Mincha is a Torah-mandated thing? We know that Torah does not come, we know that Mincha does not come from the Torah. Mincha comes later on. There was established by Chazal is one of the services that we have. So the Mefarshim explain that it's not that Mincha is Mida Oraisa, it comes from the Torah, but rather we know from the Torah that it was instituted by Yitzchak Avinu, or from the very famous story when he met Rivka. So, since there's a hint to Mincha in the Torah, we say it's not appropriate to have the Karban Eitzim push away the Mincha Ma'amad service. So, therefore, we say we have the Mincha push away the Ne'ilah Ma'amad service, but it's a much lesser prayer service because it's not even rooted in the Torah at all. Okay. Zman Atzei Kohanim V'Ha'am. So, then you remember the Mishnah went on to list All the different korban eitzim that were brought, and when they were brought, and who brought them, and specifically that there was one group of people, or one of the korban eitzims that was brought by one family, and then they had all the kohanim and all the levim and all the people who didn't know where they belonged. Everyone would bring with this one specific group. Says the Gemara, and remember, one of those groups were like they were. Let's see. So Tanur Rabban, the rabbis Tanur Rabbi. So lama hutzrichu lomar zman atzei kohanim ve'am. So says the Gemara, why was it necessary for the Mishnah to mention the times of the wood festivals of the Kohanim and the people? Right? Why do you have to list all these things? Says the Raisa. Amru kasha'alu b'nei ha'gola lo matzu eitzim b'lishka v'amdu elu v'hisnadu mishalahem. Says the Gemara, we wanted to show the significance of all of these incredible people that decided to bring of their own wood. Right. So when they came up from the exile, right, when they came up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael from this lo matzu eitzim belishka, there was no wood that was found in the chamber where the wood was held, and the amdu elu is not to mishalhem, and every single family that got up that was listed in the Mishnah, they got up of their own volition and said, here, take some of our wood so that you can have wood for the Beis HaMikdash. V'kach hisnu neviim shebinehan. And as a result, the neviim of the time, they stipulated, sha'afilu lishka meleya eitzim, even when the chamber is filled with wood, as we saw, there were some people who would bring up their wood, three days apart from each other. So even if the lishka was filled with eitzim, yihyu elu misnavin mishalahan, they would still give from their own wood at those times. Shenamar the agoralos he palnu al karban haitzim hakohanim halavim vehaam lehavi leveis elokino leveis avosino leitim mezumanim shana b'shana leveir al mizbeach Hashem elokino kakasov ba Torah, that and we the kohanim levim and the people cast lots for the wood offering to bring it to the house of our God according to our families at appointed times year by year to burn upon the altar of Hashem our God as it is written in the Torah. So in other words, so let's quickly review. So why did the Mishnah mention all these times of the wood festivals and all these people? What was the significance of all of this? Because we want to really highlight these people because they were very special individuals. They took of their own time and their own money to give wood to the Beis HaMikdash. So for all time, we want to make sure these people are remembered for the incredible things that they did. And that's exactly what the Nevi'im did, and that's why the Mishnah quotes it as well. Two lines before the wide lines. V'imahem Kohanim v'Levim v'chol miyichule. Right. So now, okay, the Mishnah stated that all these people came with the specific family. So Tanur Rabbanan, Mahayu b'nei gonvei Eli u'b'nei kotzei ketzos. So says the Braisa, Rabbi Sadon Braisa, what exactly was the deal with these pestle smugglers and these fig cutters? Who were they? How'd they get these names? What's going on over here? So says the Gemara, Amru. They said, Chazal said, Pa'am achas gezira, gazra hamalchos gezira al Yisrael, shelo yavyu itzim lema'aracha. There was one time where there was a decree made of the kingdom of that time that the Jewish people could not bring wood for the altar. But shelo yavyu bikurim liyushalayim, and they were not allowed to bring, the first fruits to Yerushalayim. V'hushivu pruzdaus al hadrachim, and they set up checkpoints on the way to Yerushalayim, kederach shehoshev Yeravim ben Nevat, in the same way that Yeravim ben Nevat set up the checkpoints, shelo yalu Yisrael l'regel, that they weren't able to do aliyah l'regel, so too that's what this kingdom set up at that time, so the people would not be able to bring bikurim. What happened? Ma'asu kesherin, and then the girsa is included over here, v'yirei chet shebo'osu ador. So what did the very kosher people and the people who were fearers of sin in that generation, what did they do? Sali bikurim v'chipum v'ktzios. They took baskets of bikurim and they covered them with dry figs. V'natlum ve'eli al kasfeim, and they took them with like a pestle on their shoulders. V'kivan shehigiu etzel pruzdaus, and when they got to these checkpoints, amru lahem heichan atem holchem. They said, where are you guys going? Omer lahem la'asos shnei igulei devela b'machteshes shalafanino. They said, very simple. We're going to make two cakes of pressed figs with the mortar that is in a nearby place before us, ube'eli sha'al katzfenu, and with a pestle that's on our shoulder. Very simple. So they basically had a diversion for them. Kivan sha'avru mehan, once they passed these checkpoints, itrum b'salam, they decorated the baskets of ube'eliim li'Yerushalayim, and they brought them to Yerushalayim. They were able to bring these first fruits. Since these very special people were able to bring the first fruits, and these were people who specifically used the pestle and used the figs to cover these things or to use them as like decoys. As a result, these are the people that got to bring wood to the mizbeach to the base of Mikdash on these days, because they were such special individuals that they risked their lives to do this mitzvah. Tana was son of Brisa. Hein bnei Salmai hanatufati. So these are like this. These people are like the same as the people Salmai hanatufati. Who are these people? Tana Rabbanan. Mahin bnei Salmai hanatufati. Who are these people? Amru. They said pamachas gazra hamalchus gazera al Yisrael shelo yaviu eitzim lemaaracha voshivu peruzdaus al hadrachim akederach shahoshev yiram. So once happened, there was a decree that the kingdom made that they were not allowed to bring the wood for the altar, for the pyre on the Mizbeach, and they set up checkpoints on the way to stop people from going, like Yerevan ben Nevat did in the times when he was the king, and he stopped people from doing Aliyah L'Regel. Ma'asu Yirei Chet Shabo Sodor, what did the people who were fearers of sin do in that generation? Heviu Gizeirehen Ve'asu Sulamas, they took logs and they made ladders out of them. And they carried them on their shoulders, and they walked with them. When they got to these checkpoints, they said, "Where are you guys going?" That they said they're going to get like pigeons from these dove coats that were somewhere down this way, and they were going to use the ladders that they were carrying on their shoulders to get to them. But once they passed these people, Pirkum, they dismantled the ladders. They brought them up to Yerushalayim so that they could have wood for the Mizbeach. And about these people and on people who were like them, I guess meaning people from the previous story, what do we say about these types of people? Who Omer, the Pasuk says, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that the memory of a righteous person is for a blessing. So in other words, all these people were very special people who were involved in trying to bring things to the Beis HaMikdash when the kingdom tried to stop it, the non-Jewish kingdom tried to stop it. And about Yerav ben Nevat and people who are like him, and about his associates, Namar, Beshem Rishayim Yirkav, it says that the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, if you go back for a second, just trying to understand exactly what this Gemara is getting to over here. So we wanted to know, who were these pestle smugglers and who were these fig cutters? So the pestle smugglers and the fig cutters are the people who tried to bring the Bikurim with this interesting hidden way. So the question is, why did those people get the merit of also being able to bring wood up to the altar? So I guess just by just basically understanding what the Gemara is saying over here, is probably these people who were the pestle smugglers and the fig cutters, they were probably the same exact people as the people who did the tricks with the wood as well. And that's, I guess, maybe not necessarily, but I guess there's probably a big link to people, to these different groups of people. So again, lav dafka, that they were the same exact people, but it's the same type of person, so that's why they all got to merit to bring the wood up to the base HaMikdash. Okay. Two dots. Be Eshem Bo Bnei Pachas Moab Ben Yehuda. If you remember, then there were a number additional families listed. So one of them, Be'eshrim, on the 20th of, I think it was Av, the family of Pachas Moav, the son of Yehuda, came. Tana was son of Raisa, b'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda, hein b'nei David ben Yehuda, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that who was the family of Pachas Moav ben Yehuda? That was actually the family of David HaMelech, who was ben Yehuda, who was the son of Yehuda. And that's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Yossi Umer, hein b'nei Yoav ben Suruya. No, this family was actually Yoav ben Suruya. Yoav was also related to David. I think he was the son of David's sister or something like that, so he was also of the family of David, but that's who was referred to on this day according to Rabbi Yossi. Be'esrim be'elul b'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Again, the 20th of Elul, the family of Adin ben Yehuda came. Tanur Rabban, b'nei Adin ben Yehuda, hein b'nei David ben Yehuda, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, these are b'nei David ben Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi omer, hein b'nei Yoav ben Suriah, according to Rabbi Yossi. This is the family of Yoav and Suriah, which means, by the way, so according to Rabbi Yossi, he appeared in the previous Braisa and he appeared in this Braisa. He said that Yoav and Suriah evidently brought it twice. He brought it on the 20th of of Av, and he also brought on the 20th of Elul. Okay, Be'echad b'Tevis shavu b'nei Perosh shnia. So then on the first of Tevis, the family of b'nei Perosh, it came a second time, and they brought their wood. Mani masnisin. So who's the author of our Mishnah now? And then you'll see why in a second, why that's such an important question to be asking after we hear this line of this group that came a second time. Lo Rabbi Meir, could not be Rabbi Meir, but Lo Rabbi Yehuda, but Lo Rabbi Yossi. It can't be any of these three people that we've been listing. Why? E Rabbi Meir, listnei shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda shnia. If it's Rabbi Meir, well then it should be teaching that the b'nei it should have teach that the b'nei David ben Yehuda came back a second time, but it didn't, right? In other words, by the fact that the Mishnah said shavu b'nei Parosh, it means clearly that this is the only family that returned. But what about the b'nei David that clearly returned? Therefore, Rabbi Meir could not be the author of the Mishnah. E Rabbi Yehuda listnei shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda shnia. And the same issue for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda also who believed that the b'nei David brought twice. So if they brought twice, then it wouldn't have made sense to have for the Mishnah to say shavu only for this family. So I Rabbi Yossi, listen, shavu b'nei Yoav and Sri Shnia. And again, with Rabbi Yossi, it's clear as well that if he was the author of the Mishnah, we know he said that Yoav and Sri brought twice. So why would you say only that shavu b'nei Parosh, that only b'nei Parosh came a second time? Also, b'nei Yoav and Sri came a second time. So therefore, it says the Gemara, the Olam Rabbi Yossi. Really, no. We can say that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah, betray Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, and rather it's just two Tanaim who have two different perspectives as to what Rabbi Yossi held. Some people said that some of the Tanaim held that Rabbi Yossi held that Yoav ben Tsruya came twice, and some Tanaim held that Rabbi Yossi held that Yoav ben Tsruya did not come twice, and therefore that's how you have the disputation between our Braisa and the Mishnah. Okay, the last line on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph at the Tudas. So we said on the first of Tevis, there was no Ma'amad at all because it was the first, because it was Chanukah, and you had Rosh Chodesh, etc., and you had Karban Eitzim as well. Amar Lei Mar Kashisha Breid Rav Chista Le Rav Ashi. So Mar Kashisha, the son of Rav Chista, says to Rav Ashi, now we're on Chef Ches Amud Beis. Maishna halal de dachi didei, maishna musaf de lo dachi didei. What is so special about, or what is so different from halal that halal is said at the shacharis services? And we say, if we say halal, then we are doche, we push away, we don't have a ma'amad service for shacharis. So why is it that for halal it gets to push away its own morning service of the ma'amad service? Maishna musaf, but musaf de lo dachi didei, that it doesn't push away its own service, right? Musaf does not push away. When you have a karban musaf, the implication of the mission is you don't push away the ma'amad of the musaf time period. It's that you push away the ma'amad service of the mincha time period. So why is that? Amar le Rav Ashi hashta delav didei dachi didei lo kol shekein. So Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? It's clearly, if that which pushed away, Hashta delav didei dachi didei lo kol shekein, right? So that which pushed away its own and didn't get to push away anything else, so right? So halal pushed away the morning ma'amad, but doesn't push away anything else. So if that's how that works, then clearly the musaf that pushes away something else, clearly it also is going to push away its own service. So basically, Rav Ashi says back to him, no. It's very clear that even though the Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly, that the Musaf Karban pushes away not just Mincha, but also the Musaf Ma'amad service. Amar Lei, so now he says back to Rav Ashi, Hachi kamina lecha. This is really what I meant to say to you. Lo lidche eladidei. No, I have a stronger question. How come Halel pushes away the morning service ma'amad, but the Karban Musaf pushes away both the Musaf one and the Mincha one? It should only be the Musaf one. What makes it so special? Amar leis back to him, Ika Rabbi Yossi dekai kevasich. He says, Rabbi Yossi actually held just like you. What did Rabbi Yossi hold? The Tanya was taught in a braisa. Rabbi Yossi omer, kol yom sheish bo Musaf, yish bo ma'amad. The Rabbi Yossi says, any day that there is a Musaf, that means there's also a ma'amad on that day. So now the Gemara is going to know, first of all, who is he responding to? So the understanding over here, this is gets a little technical. So let's just say it outside first. So Rabbi Yossi, the implication of the Gemara is going to be that Rabbi Yossi is responding to another opinion. It seems that the other opinion is a Tanakama that holds just like Rabbi Akiva. And what does he hold? It must be that the Tanakama of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi is quoted in must have held that Musaf Musaf takes away the ma'amad service from both Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, there, anytime you have Musaf on that day, there is a ma'amad service. Meaning, so of course there's a ma'amad service on that day. So he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama. So which one did Rabbi Yossi come to add? Ma'amad demai, which one is he adding? Ilema ma'amad shachris. If he's coming to say that there's a ma'amad service of shachris, when you have Musaf, ha Tanakhama nami hachikamer. Now, clearly the Tanakhama that he was arguing with held that there's a shachris ma'amad. What would a korban Musaf be doing, taking away the shachris ma'amad? Ela ma'amad de Musaf, right? It must be that he was, if you want to say that he's referring to the ma'amad of Musaf, dide nami lo dachi, clearly, it's clear that Musaf is going to be pushing away itself, Ella de Mincha, right? So it must be that what we're talking about over here is the Mincha Ma'amad, that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mincha Ma'amad is said, and the Tanakhama holds that the Mincha Ma'amad is not said, and therefore, so what happens? So that sounds just like, that sounds just like this opinion at the top of the Gemara, who wanted to say that why should Musaf be pushing away any other ma'amad service other than its own? And so therefore, you have Rabbi Yossi, who holds that the Musaf Korban pushes away the Musaf ma'amad, but it does not push away the Mincha ma'amad. Okay, Korban Eitzim Dachi Ela Lav De Ne'ila. The Korban Eitzim... Uh-huh. Right, and carbonism dachi ela lab. One second. Okay, fine. Right. So let's take a step back for a second. So, ha Tanakhama, nachi haki kamar. So, the Tanakhama says that, of course, there's the ma'amad service at Shachris. So, okay, let's do it step by step now. Both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi agree that there is a ma'amad service at Shachris. Ela ma'amad de Musaf. What about the ma'amad of Musaf? Would the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi be taking that away? So, d-day, nami, lo dachi. So, it's clear that, according to him, that the ma'amad of Musaf... What am I missing here? Of the Bishi Yeshbo. A plague. The Amar Yeshbo was in Bonila. What else are we using? The Yeshbo. What am I missing here? Yes, we're going to change the Yeshbo. Okay, fine. So let's do it one more time. I think I got it now. So ma'amad. So Rabbi Yossi Omer. Let's go back a few lines. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Yom Sheyeshbo Musaf Yeshbo Ma'amad. Fine. Ma'amad Demai. So which one is he pushing away, or which one is he adding that the Tanakhama did not accept? Ili Ma'amad De Shachris At Tanakhama Nami Hachikamer. Everyone agrees that Shachris is inputted. Ela Ma'amad De Musaf Dide Nami Lo Dachi. Everyone agrees, I guess, that the Musaf is not pushed away. Ela De Mincha. Right? Must be we're talking about Mincha. Karban Eitzim Dachi Ela. El de mincha korban etzim dachi ela lav din ila. Must be that we're talking about ne'ila over here. And shmamina dide dachi de lav dide lo dachi shmamina. So we see from here that something that pushes away something that pushes away itself, it should not be able. That's something that pushes away itself. But it cannot push away something else other than itself. Shmamina. So we see that from here. So we'll have to stir that up a little bit better bit next time. But basically, the point of the Gemara, what it's trying to get over here, is this idea that Rabbi Yossi holds that one thing that has the power to fix itself does not have when something has the power to push away itself, it doesn't have the power to push away a ma'amad service later in the day. And that's basically what the opinion at the top of the Gemara was trying to say. Why should a musaf have the right to push away anything else but the musaf ma'amad? And so Rabbi Yossi holds that nothing has the right to push away anything but the own ma'amad that it's interacting with. Okay, we'll clear that up a little bit more next time, but that's what the Gemara is trying to say over here. Fine. But listen, nami be'echad b'nisan, lo haya bo mamam, b'nei she'esh bo halav, a karban musaf, a karban etzim. So now, says the Gemara, we said that there's only one date that there was no ma'amad service, and that was echad b'tevis. But says the Gemara, let us also teach that the first of Nisan, that there wasn't a ma'amad. Why? Because there's halal, there's karban musaf, and there's karban etzim, right? So it should also be one of the dates with no ma'amad. Those amar Rava, no. Zos amaras halila debereish yircha lav do'oraisa. So Rava says that halal, that's said on Rosh Chodesh, which is the halal that we're referring to on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that halal is not a de'oraisa. Tamar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak Shmona Asar Yom B'Shana Yachid Gomer B'Hanas HaHalal. There are 18 days throughout the year that an individual, not just a Hebrew, but that an individual should finish the halal by himself. Ve'elohin Shmona Simei HaChag, the 8 days of Sukkot, count with me, 8 days of Sukkot, Ve'shmona Simei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, that's 16. V'yom Tov Harishon Shal Pesach, that's 17. V'yom Tov Shal Atzeres,
and that gives you, if once in the exile, if you add all the extra days for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galius, then you get to a total of 21. Rav Ikla LeBavel, Rav went to Bavel, Chazinu Deka Karo Halila Barish Yercha, and he saw that they were saying Hal and Rosh Chodesh. Savar Lafsu Kino Kivan Dechazad Deka Midalgi Delugi. So he saw they were saying Hal and Rosh Chodesh, and he thought maybe I should stop them because we don't say Hal and Rosh Chodesh. He saw that they were skipping paragraphs, right? They were not saying the full Halel. So Amar Shmamina Minhagav Sehem Biadehem. We see from here that it's their custom, and if it's their custom, then he should say Hal on Rosh Chodesh. Fine. Tana was Tana Raisa Yachid Lo Yaschil. That an individual should never be Maschil. He should never begin saying Hal and Rosh Chodesh by himself, but if he does begin Gomer, then he does finish the Halel, as again, not the full Halel, because that wouldn't make any sense, because you don't even say that Betzibor, but you should finish the full Halel of Rosh Chodesh, which is just the partial Halel, only if he began, but ideally, he should not begin in the first place. Okay, so that brings us to the end. We'll stop right here for now. God willing, next week we'll pick up from over here. Everyone should have a great week and a Ksiva V'Chasima Tovah.